So this week we're focusing on here in Western New York, what it looks like in our city of Buffalo in this region of Western New York. So we're going to show you a quick video here, about 2 minutes long, that's going to kind of detail who these partners are and what they're seeking to do with our help. So watch this video.
As part of this next Heart Check, we have many wonderful partner ministries in Buffalo that we are excited to press on with. We've had a great relationship for several years with 716 Ministries Work Readiness Program. They train men and women for jobs in the construction and retail fields while mentoring them and building relationships to introduce them to Christ. They are developing a brand new hands-on training center on the east side of Buffalo. We'll be able to help them hire a director for that to make that program successful. Buffalo Adult and Teen Challenge is a new partner for us this year. They have an amazing ministry that reaches those caught in the grip of drug and alcohol addiction. We will be helping fund their residential treatment facility where they serve up to 24 adults in a Christ-centered recovery program. Buffalo Urban Ministry Partnership, or BUMP, provides a home and training for young adults serving as missionaries in our city. This past year, two of our young adults were involved with great benefit to their own spiritual growth. As part of Heart Check, we'll be helping BUMP convert the basement of their housing facility so they can have increased revenue and become a self-sustaining ministry. One of our great partners is People Against Trafficking Humans, or PATH. They offer a refuge for women and children in our city who have been exploited or the victims of sex or labor trafficking. PATH's Enrichment Center is a place they can go and connect to critical services that provide a path to wholeness. We will help PATH meet their personnel and facility costs as they move into a larger, new facility. Seneca Gospel Mission and Promise Valley Farm helps feed families in a needy area of Buffalo and have impacted many people this past summer. They train young people and families in proper nutrition, sharing with them the wonders of God's provision through Bible stories and personal examples. As part of our campaign, we'll help them continue the nutrition and spiritual education programming, increase the size of their farm to feed more people, and create a new microenterprise to train youth in work and life skills. We are so excited and blessed to be able to support and serve so many organizations doing kingdom work right here in Western New York. Your involvement can make a positive difference in someone else's life. It is a privilege to press on with these partners.
Thank you, Randy.
Good morning. I'm Randy Johnson, and I'm the Outreach Director of Watermark, and I'm so pleased to be here, and I just love this place. So, as you can see, we're reaching across Buffalo, and part of my job is to go and check out these opportunities that we have across the city. And one of the first times early on, I got to go see 716 Ministries and was totally amazed by all they have. And shortly ago, I met Bob Gibson, and he was explaining what this one aspect of 716 is. And when they asked me to figure out who would come down here to speak, I had to pick you, Bob.
Yeah.
So, can you tell us? This is Bob Gibson from 716, and can you tell us a little bit about 716, and then specifically about what you're doing and what we are doing with you over the next 17 months?
Thank you, Randy. Yeah, first of all, I just want to say this is awesome. I have not been here before. I stuck my nose in one time when it was in construction, but this is beautiful here. So good morning, and it's a pleasure to be here. I'm Bob Gibson from 716 Ministries. And, you know, we started the program many years ago, and people right from our congregation, back then it was Hamburg Wesleyan, were the first people to get it started. And we started as West Side Ministries, and we were on the west side of Buffalo, and we started out just rehabbing homes there. And that grew and grew. We added facilities management to it, and we actually had a big hand in turning the west side of Buffalo around. And so now we're focusing on more of the city, and we changed our name now to 716 Ministries. I still think we're thinking too small, but we're now focusing more on the east side. And so I'm involved in what we call our work readiness program. And we provide job training for underserved individuals, folks that are in residence on the west side, the east side, refugees, asylum seekers, those who have fled for persecution from other countries and are located here at Vive La Casa. And we work alongside these folks to get them job ready and into society. And we have so many great stories of folks that have come through our programs and are now viable members in our society. So it's a pretty awesome opportunity. I'm just so thankful to be able to share this with you.
Bob, could you give us an idea of maybe some things that we all could do to get involved with your ministry, and what opportunities do you have for us?
Well, yeah, there's mentoring opportunities. There's a few things that set 716 work readiness programs aside. One of them, of course, that we're faith-based. But every one of the folks that goes through our programs has a Christian mentor to walk alongside them during the program. And you might say, well, gosh, I don't think I could mentor anyone. Well, you probably could, because we actually call it coaching, right, rather than mentoring. And we're just there to find what God has already placed in these folks and help to uncover it. And so we have a program set up for folks like yourselves that feel like they'd like to be in service some way, to be a mentor and to walk alongside these folks. For instance, a program that we're starting tomorrow with Trocare College phlebotomy students, all right? And we've got some homeless folks in that. We've got some asylum seekers in that. And we'll begin to show them first our soft skills. You know, the things that employers really want, you know, things like showing up on time. You know, things, how to get a job and keep a job, how to get along with people. And those are some of the things we do in the soft skills. But, well, all the mentoring is such a big part of the program. On Wednesday, we'll bring in a bunch of Christian mentors that will work with them. And right now, the program is online. So, yeah, it's a long ways from Springville area to Buffalo, but via the internet, it's very easy to do. How many have been on Zoom before? You know, quite a few, right? Well, that's what we're doing it on. And you think, well, how can you build a relationship with someone by Zoom? Well, if you've done a lot of Zoom, then you know that there are breakout rooms. And so we'll have our general class, and then we'll all go in the breakout rooms one-on-one with the students and do the exercise. And the relationships that are formed there are quite precious, really. And so even through the internet, we're able to touch these folks and bring them along to a partner with them, actually, to become viable members in the community. So it's an awesome opportunity. I'll be back there at the back, and if anyone's interested at all, happy to share more information. They only give us a couple minutes here now, but I'd love to talk with some of you that might see an opportunity back there.
Bob, yeah. Can you give us an idea of how we can pray for you, and then I'm going to pray for you before we get off the stage.
Sure. Well, thank you. Yes, the 716 Ministries is growing. Our work readiness team has a number of new members in it. And over the next 18 months, we are going to be starting our own training center over at 1021 Broadway and developing what we call social enterprise businesses, a cafe, a wood shop, an internet business. And the folks that go through our programs and graduate will be able to have hands-on training in these social enterprise businesses. So be praying for that, you know, that for the growth of that and the success of that.
Truly one of the most amazing, impactful ministries that I'm aware of in the city of Buffalo is 716. And Bob's specific niche is doing just amazing things. And we're so privileged to partner with you. Can we just pray for Bob right now?
Thank you.
Lord, we just thank you so much for the work of all our partners in Buffalo, Lord. And we are so privileged to be a part of it and connect to it. And right now we specifically lift up 716 and the work readiness program and all the things that they're going to be doing, all the people they're going to be touching, Lord, through this church, through our church, Lord. And we're just so privileged, Lord, that you give us this opportunity to serve in this way, to connect in this way, and to reach out and touch in this way. So we just give this ministry to you, Lord, all our partners to you, and we just, again, are thankful for the privilege you've given us to be part of this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. No, I got one here. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good? Let me get this thing working here. Come on. Be patient with me. I'm working on this, all right? Come on. You know what? I'm going to have to use my hand, whatever. Jane, I love you. It's good to see you. Kevin, your wife, you're here. I love you guys. I got my whole family here. I got a lot of love. Shannon, I love you too. You look beautiful. Rob, I love you. Who we got back here waving at me? Rose, I love you. I got a lot of love. I wore a shirt with a heart on it today about God's love because guess what I'm preaching about? God's love today. Okay, we're in Heart Check today, week two, and as we reintroduced last week to the church, for the past 14 years, we have given away over $12 million. It is who we are. Regardless of a pandemic, in good times and in bad, this is what we do. We invest by tangibly giving and sharing the gospel through the world, just as we heard. So regardless of good times or bad, it's what we do. We're going to press on. So why would we do this during a dark time in our world history? Because as we saw last week, we trust God. When God tells us in Acts 20 that it is better to give than receive, we believe him. Our 15 partner ministries and work here on our facilities in the South Towns and in Western New York and around the world are in need, so we're going to keep pressing on and do what we do because it's who we are as a church. We're a generous church. Why? Because we trust God, as Keith preached about last week. We trust God. And secondly, as I want to talk about and show us today, because we love people. Amen? Heart Check has always been about loving people in tangible ways. Many Christians believe that being a Christ follower is more about keeping the right rules, saying the right things, praying the right prayers, knowing the right scripture. But if you really study Jesus, one of the core patterns of his teaching is calling us to love. Erase love from the equation in Christianity just becomes another set of rules or duties without any joy. Love, according to Jesus, is the essence of life and the secret to a society that flourishes. When I read that just blew my mind. Let me say it again. According to Jesus, love is the essence of life and the secret to a society that flourishes. And for clarity's sake, when Jesus teaches on love, he shows us that love is a verb. It is shown, not just spoken. So open to John 13 with me, and let's take a look at the very first verse. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were here in the world, he loved them to the end. Bless you. He loved them to the end. So what does his love look like? What does Jesus' love look like? Let's dig into it a little further and see if we can discover it. This verse is the opening line of a chapter in John that describes the last night Jesus spent with the 12 men who had been in his community group for the past 3 years. It was a night that was both significant and sad. Significant because he was going to show them something that was crucial to their future, and sad because of what he was going to endure just hours later. If Jesus taught them only one thing that night, it was this. Love is a commitment that you make, but it first must be demonstrated and acted upon. Demonstrated and acted upon. Love is more than just a temporary feeling that you fall in and out of. You can lose that loving feeling and still love, right? Let's look at this story and we'll discover the depth of love that Jesus is calling us to. As a backdrop to this story, you have to know that there were no paved streets when Jesus was walking these roads. We complain about potholes, but they had mud holes or dry, dirty, parched pathways to walk on. During the dry season, dust would be piled up deep layers on the road. And if you had a community group over to your house, the first thing you would do would have one of your servants, imagine that, having a servant, that'd be pretty cool, but you would greet them at the door, and then you would wash their feet. I mean, we still do this. We're meeting at my parents' today on Sunday, and we still wash each other's feet. It's pretty normal, but here's the problem. The disciples gathered for a Passover potluck, but nobody would wash the feet. After all, they were all peers. Who wanted to be designated as the servant? That person would probably get stuck doing the dishes, and nobody was signing up for that. So Jesus decides to demonstrate the full extent of love right here. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, this is radical love, don't you guys think? The God of the universe just washed the people's feet who were too proud to do it themselves. They would rather set their stinking, dirty feet right up next to their food than to stoop to the level of a servant and wash the feet. But guess what? Jesus did it. This is his first example of love. And remember, love is a verb, is that it serves. Love serves. When Jesus is all finished, he says, "Do you understand what I have just done for you? Here's the King of the universe stooping to serve in the humblest of positions." He was showing us that love says, "You go first." Pride can ruin fellowship many times. Jesus is giving us a model of how the church should function in all ways. There is a mutual humility in genuine love. I want what is best for you. Love says, "How can I help you?" It says, "I want to do whatever is best for you. What can I do to help lift you up?" That's true love. Jesus also teaches us that love accepts. You might be thinking, duh, of course it means acceptance. But wait a minute. Check this. Love involves acceptance of people who are not yet insiders. So that's kind of complicated for some of us. As Jesus sat back down, he began to teach them this. "Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." So what does this mean? It means that Christians just don't operate in isolation, away from the world. Jesus says that real love must be demonstrated with acceptance of people that he sends to us. So what if they don't look like us? What if they're not like us? That's not in the criteria. What if they look weird or smell funny? Or more seriously, what if they don't believe in the same things you believe? What if they're a Democrat? What if they're a Republican? You love them. This is what Jesus is saying. Accept them as a human being first, made in the image of God. Heart check here. How are we doing with that? Accept them as a human being made in the image of God. That just hit me. But the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they didn't do this. They chose what might be called the strategy of isolation. Lepers, Gentiles, tax collectors, women, the uncircumcised, all were to be avoided like the plague. Religious people would not eat with them. They wouldn't talk with them. They wouldn't work with them. Don't look at them. Don't even think about them with those people. The idea of isolation came from the assumption that suffering came from sin. Suffering came from sin. So anyone who suffered, they must be sinful. They must have done something wrong. So avoid them. They're contagious. We don't want to get that. We don't want to get what they have. And the way to avoid them is to keep yourself separate from them. And throughout history, religious people have picked up on this. Religious people in many churches prefer to live in quarantine. Some of us have been following a stay-at-home order for 2,000 years. They had come to view the world as us and them. But here's the problem. We read these words, tax collectors, lepers, women, prostitutes, and we say, shame on those Jewish leaders and those out-of-it rabbis. But it's easier to condemn them when the outcasts, they're not a part of our world. But what about the people who get infected with AIDS or COVID? What about people on welfare with 7 children? What if a gay or a lesbian wanted to join our community group or your family? I have a family member who's gay. Should I just put them in a leper colony? In my mind, out of my mind, out of my heart, disavow them as a part of the family? This is real talk here. What do I do? What do we do? But then I would lose any relationship I have with them for an opportunity to minister to them throughout life. Church, did you guys catch that? I would lose an opportunity to minister to that person. Love does not abandon. Love meets someone where they are at to pursue a relationship, first and foremost. Next weekend is an equipping session, How to Love the LGBTQ Community, at the McKinley Campus in Hamburg. It will be Saturday, October 17th. You'll have to register by today online to be a part of that. But it's just going to be a great way to dig a little deeper to discover God's love and how to handle this tough situation if you're facing it. Love serves and accepts people where they're at. Amen? This is where faith comes from. Do you trust the same God, the same Holy Spirit who is convicting you of sin and helping you grow, is the same one who will help minister to them? Your job is to accept and to love them first. Then they'll be open to hearing about your walk with Jesus. I've seen God do some awesome, crazy things in these moments. I know you guys have heard of Mahatma Gandhi, right? In his autobiography, he wrote that during his student days, he read the Bible seriously, and he considered converting to Christianity. He believed that the teachings of Jesus, he could maybe find the solution to the caste system that was dividing his people of India. So one Sunday, he decided to attend a service at a nearby church, and he walked in, and he wanted to talk to the pastor about becoming a Christian. When he entered the church, however, the usher refused to give him a seat and suggested that he go worship with his own people. Imagine that. Go worship with your own people. That ain't God's love. Gandhi left the church and never returned. If Christians have caste differences also, he said, I might as well remain a Hindu. That usher's lack of acceptance not only betrayed Jesus, but also turned one of the most influential persons in history away from trusting Jesus as the Savior. Acceptance is more than a duty. It is the turning of your heart toward that person. I can only accept someone with God's power as He gives me the power to love. God didn't wait for me to get it all together. He loved me unconditionally. Jesus turned His whole life toward His followers, and He decided to accept them with all their sins, all their flaws, all their imperfections, all their mess. He loved them as they were. Then last, a disciple must learn love forgives. Forgiveness. Jesus didn't say anything about forgiveness at the Last Supper, did he? No. But when we sat back down that evening, John tells us that he was troubled. Jesus was troubled in his spirit, which tells us that Jesus understands the depth of betrayal set before him. Jesus then said, "One of you is going to betray me. It is the one whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Guess who that person was? Judas, the betrayer. I want you to notice something, because this is the ultimate example of loving. Jesus had already demonstrated humility to Judas as he served him. He washed his feet. He already shown Judas acceptance because he knew in Judas's heart he wasn't a true believer. He was an outsider. But now he offers that last piece of true love. Forgiveness to the person who had done him wrong. He took a small piece of bread and broke it into two. According to Jewish custom, you put between the two pieces of bread some bitter herbs. This small little sandwich was then dunked into a specially prepared dip, and it was then called a morsel. And it was normally given to one person at the table as a statement of honor and friendship. It was Jesus' way of saying, Judas, there's still time to change your mind. I know the deal you just cut for 30 pieces of silver to kill me, but I forgive you. You still have time. I forgive you. You might be saying to yourself, I can serve and accept, but I can't do what Jesus did here with forgiveness. You crazy, JP. I can't do that. You may be thinking, the person I hold bad feelings for is never going to change. They're a monster. Well, Judas didn't change then either. He still betrayed Jesus. But that didn't stop Jesus from loving him and forgiving him, and it didn't stop him from doing to Judas what he would want done to him. That's radical love right there. And remember, forgiveness doesn't mean that we trust. We are never commanded to trust. If a person is abusive, then have some healthy boundaries of protection. We aren't commanded to just let people have their way with us, walk all over us. But we are commanded to forgive, which is simply giving up the right to revenge. It's giving them to Jesus and saying, Jesus, you deal with them, which is a pretty good deal if you ask me. I don't want to deal with this person. Lord, you forgive them. You deal with it. That night ended with Jesus saying, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This right here is like, how much more obvious can Jesus be talking to us and telling us that this is about love right here? A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So I think he wants us to love one another. I mean, that's what I get from it. It is so much easier to hold on to your pride than to demonstrate humility. It's so much easier to be a little exclusive and say, let them live their life, I'm going to live mine, we'll be fine, everything will be good. It's so much easier to hold on to a grudge for someone who has hurt you rather than to love them and let it go. You say, I'm so tired, I can't serve. I'm so mad at society, I can't accept others. I just can't do it. I've been burned too many times. I'm so hurt, I can't forgive. I've been hurt too many times. I'm not letting it happen again. Well, here's where it gets good. All right, church? This is the mind-blowing part of this. He will equip you to do this. God will equip you to do this. Shortly after Judas had left to betray him, Jesus said these words, you do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another. Did you see that? I'm convinced that just as Jesus said to his disciples, he's saying to you, he's saying, Jane, I choose you. Shani, I choose you. Dad, I choose you. Belle, I choose you. Nick, I choose you. Claire, Luke, he's choosing you. That's what God's saying. I choose you. You will be an example of my love. He told me, JP, I'm going to use you, and that's why I'm here. I want to show God's love. It's up to me. It's up to you. It's up to us. You will be an example of my love in this world. And did you see the results? The Heavenly Father will give you what you ask. So ask, because he will. God doesn't lie. He's a promise keeper. Amen? So ask. Father, I need a heart filled with compassion for those who I hate. We can't do it on our own. I need strength to serve because I can't serve anymore. I'm weak. I don't got time. Lord, help me. Father, give me a heart of forgiveness for my enemy. Did you know the order in those closing verses? Ask the Father for help, then love. Ask the Father for help, then love. He will give you a heart filled up to love. And that starts with love in all of its messy complexity. That's where it starts, opening up your heart and letting God in so he can do his thing. Here's the great news. Jesus had already modeled for us how to do this. He saw our rebellion and hatred for righteousness. And instead of just telling us what to do, he left the glory of heaven to come down to show us how to love. He walked the walk. He talked it, he walked it. As he offered his life for you, for me, for everyone here. That is tangible love, church. He never asked us to take steps that he hasn't already taken. He invites us into his radical love by first filling us with his. We can love when we ask God for help. That's how it works, because we can't do it on our own. Fran, I'm going to ask you to come up as we prepare for communion. I'm just going to end in a quick prayer. Father God, we love you so much. We thank you for your radical love, and I thank you for the way that you walked it and talked it and showed us how to do it, Lord. And I know there is so much division right now in this world, and I just pray for your Holy Spirit to just saturate us and let us be that example that I talked about. We love you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for this Sunday, and we just have so much to be thankful for. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.